Chapter 1. Truth. History is not always what actually happened. More often, it's the version that was recorded, repeated, or allowed to stand. I learned that early, long before I ever imagined my own life would become subject to interpretation. I was raised in a way that made truth non-negotiable, not because it was easy, but because it worked. Handling situations honestly, especially uncomfortable ones, often came with consequences up front, but it consistently led to better outcomes in the end. Lying, hiding, or avoiding accountability only delayed the damage. That principle became a constant, reinforced through upbringing rather than lectures. It followed me into every role I would later hold. Much of my adult life was spent as a rescuer and protector. Those experiences didn't just shape what I did for a living, they shaped how I saw people, systems, and responsibility. Over time, they formed an ethical framework that guided decisions when there was no clear rule book and no applause waiting on the other side. They also shaped the character I never expected would one day be questioned. These chapters that follow are not written to impress or persuade. They are written to explain how I was raised, how I lived, and how a lifetime of experiences led me to moments where silence was no longer an option. Some of these stories are ordinary. Others are unusual enough that had I not lived them myself, I might struggle to believe them. I have never felt the need to embellish what already carries its own weight. I'm not a professional writer, and this is no attempt at literary performance. It is a record. What matters here is accuracy of events, of motives, and of consequences. When I speak, I do so with the expectation that facts matter and that claims should be supported, whether they involve professional experiences, personal decisions, or the legal realities that emerge later. Before any controversy, before any labels, before being described by others in ways that did not reflect who I am, there was a life lived according to a simple rule. Deal with things honestly, even when it costs you. Especially when it costs you. That rule has followed me everywhere. It still does. This is important also coming from the perspective of a victim who needs to be exonerated. Many times during my career, I would quietly chuckle as I watched new people meet me, only to later find out what I did for a living. If I gave them nothing, it was easy for them to characterize me into something they did not like. An early lesson learned was that if someone doesn't want to be around you, accept the gift and move on. Good riddance. But yes, as a police officer, you can be misjudged by just about anybody. And some officers develop a reputation that makes them easier targets. If you follow along, you will see from the very beginning how Dave Harrington made himself a very difficult target. A human being, but no walk in the park if you're gonna try and fuck me. As I've said from the start, that person who has decided to try and take me on, unprovoked, never knew about the history you will read about. Had she may have taken a different path. I'm only happy I've been given this opportunity and this avenue, as I would not have likely been inspired to write this book otherwise. I look at this book most importantly as a repository for all the legal documents and the facts of the crimes committed against me, and the manner in which the system was used in an effort to discredit my character while violating multiple rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. This is also a collection of my stories, which have much humor, sadness, and human depravity, and will show you what we've all lived through. Ultimately, I'm hoping my life full of experiences, as well as my current situation, will serve as a warning to others and give them the courage to know they can stand up and speak for themselves. When you call yourself a whistleblower, there's a strange pejorative connotation. A turncoat, a rat, and the likes make you find better words. I like person of conscience. After all, it seems to be that's what society wants. There is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, merely the rocky road you have to walk barefoot across to get there. The finish line is all you are looking for, and taking away the small victories along the way, such as educating others, is one of the best rewards you will get. I must give you a little personal warning that has already started to sneak out. I have the tendency to use some pretty strong language at different times, And I assure you, it will only get worse when I describe some players later. The pen is mightier than the sword, and I have learned that this will be my best weapon. I think back to the yearly Christmas movie watched by the family where they were discussing the young boy's foul language and where it had come from. Describing his father using language like an artist working with clay is a pretty close representation of how I feel. Since it's only words and feelings, I can take the chance of offending some of these people. I hope you're moving on to Chapter 2, and I will use this as the first chance to thank you for your continued support and for sharing with any ears who will listen. The bullies of the world will thrive on your silence. Dating back to my DARE classes and all my opening monologues to the new kids, my motto has never changed, and I will warn you in kind. Buckle up. It will be a bumpy ride. The truth can be difficult to hear.